All right. With that in mind, if you can go ahead and turn with me to the book of Romans, looking at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. And then after that, I'm going to skip over to Colossians 2:12. So let's go ahead and read this together. Romans 6, 3. It says this: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And then skipping over to Colossians 2:12, Paul writes this: "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." So we're recognizing the brothers who are going to be baptized today and really celebrating with them the step of faith that they're taking forward. You know, we always say in our church that baptism is not necessary for salvation, that salvation comes through faith in Christ and Christ alone, right? But when you think about it, baptism is an important step that many of us have taken. If you were baptized in the past, many of us will take today and hopefully someday that we will take forward in following Christ. When Jesus gives us the great commission of going and making disciples, he says to make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them. And so baptism is very important in our identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. Max Lucado, he pastors in San Antonio. He has a large church there. He's a pastor as well as a well-known Christian author. He writes this about baptism. He says, and I quote, "Baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers," unquote. I really like that phrase, that baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers, right? Because you can walk into the lot and you can kick all the tires you want, but at the end of the day, you have to drive away with that car, right? That's how sales are being made. And so when I think about baptism, I think his quote really captures the essence of what baptism is. Because when we are being baptized, it means now that we are publicly declaring our faith in Jesus Christ, that we belong to Christ and that we are part of his family. And so that's what our brothers are doing today when they're being baptized, that they are publicly declaring their faith in Jesus Christ now that they belong to part of God's family. Baptism is a really important step in our faith. You know, I still remember doing the baptism classes when I was in Ann Arbor, in our Ann Arbor church. And many of our members who came from other religious backgrounds, that they came to salvation through our church, to trust in the work of Christ for their lives. And when they were taking the step of wanting to be baptized now, many of them actually began to experience backlash from their families. And this is what they used to tell me, because this was their struggle. They used to always say, "Pastor Ben, my parents, even though they're not happy with me going to church, they're okay with me going to church so that I can learn to be a good person. But when I tell them about baptism, they're against it because for them it means that baptism is our identification with the family of God. In other words, we're taking the step forward of belonging to God's people." And that's exactly what baptism is. It's about this step of faith that we are taking forward to say that now we identify ourselves with the work of Jesus Christ and that we are part of God's family, that baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers, right? Baptism is this public declaration of our inward faith in Christ Jesus. So that baptism ultimately is a confession that we can't save ourselves. Because no matter how good we strive to be, it's never good enough. And the saving that we cannot do for ourselves, that God did it on our behalf by sending his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins on the cross and to rise again from the grave. So that through his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, that we're able to experience this new life with God. The word baptism in the Greek simply means to dip or to sink. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to sink these brothers in the water. And so as they go into the water, it symbolizes their old nature now being put to death in Christ. And when they come out from the water, it symbolizes their new life that they have found in Christ. And so I'm really excited for these brothers. It's the step of faith that they are taking forward. But more than these brothers, I'm excited for our church family. Because baptism is not just a ceremony that we perform as a church. But baptism is this life-giving, it's this joy-birthing, it's this mission-propelling reminder to God's people. And I believe that baptism reminds us of three things. And so we're going to close with these three things, and then after that we're going to have these brothers come and share their testimony. Okay? So what does baptism remind us of, and why is it important? First of all, baptism reminds us of God's great love. That God is a God of love. It reminds us that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for our sins. Every time either I see baptism or are able to participate in baptism, I remember my own baptism. And I remember how God came and he saved me, and how he came and he met me, and how he came and he poured out his love into my life. And as of many of us, as we observe the baptism of these brothers, I pray that you will be reminded of that time when you were baptized yourself, of the great love of God that you were able to experience. It reminds us that God paved the way and he paid the cost on our behalf, because we cannot pay the cost. You know, I got a text from my wife this morning, because they flew out to California yesterday early morning to be with my in-laws. And so I'm going to be flying out tomorrow to join them. But she texted me this morning because the boys, they woke up really early because they're still in Central Time. And LA is like, you know, 2 hours back. So they woke up around like 5 a.m. their time, which is around 7 our time. And I guess there's just so much energy because they're so excited to be in California. I think today they're going to go to church, and then afterwards they're going to go like persimmon picking. Tomorrow I'm going to land, and then we're going to go to Disneyland. And so they're super excited, and they're completely on vacation mode, which means they don't care about rules, right? And so this morning, as soon as they woke up, they were running around inside their grandparents' house playing tag. And so as Isaiah was chasing Joshua around, he decided to climb over, I guess, a table. I haven't been there yet, but there's this table right behind the couch. And he wanted to escape Isaiah's reach by going over the couch. And in order for him to do that, he had to climb onto the table. But the problem was, there was a Tiffany lamp on that table. And so when he tried to climb over that table, guess what happened? Shake, shake, shake. Fall. Splatter. He completely ruined his grandparents' Tiffany lamp. And so my wife texted me saying, "These are your boys. Where are you?" Right? I'm right here doing God's work. But the reason why I use this illustration is because whenever there is sin involved, there's always a cost. There's always a penalty. And because Joshua was goofing off, and he broke that lamp, there's a cost involved. Someone has to replace it. But the thing is, Joshua can't replace it. He doesn't have enough money. It's the bottom line. I mean, you can, you know, I guess rob his piggy bank and count all the pennies that he has in there, but it's not going to be enough for him to buy his grandparents a new Tiffany lamp. But that lamp has to be replaced, so someone has to pay the cost. So if Joshua can't do it, then who's going to do it? Yours truly. I have to go on Amazon and try to look for a lamp so that we can replace it. And that's what the gospel reminds us. That even though we live this imperfect life, and as we live this imperfect life, there is a cost that's involved, a penalty that needs to be paid. And even though we can never pay it, what God in his infinite mercy and grace decided to do was to pay that cost on our behalf. Just like Joshua, who not only did he receive a scolding from my wife, but he also received grace. That baptism reminds us that we are the recipients of God's infinite grace. It reminds us of God's great love. Not only that, but secondly, it reminds us of God's great mission. God's great mission to love and to forgive. That the gift of God is freely given. But in order for this gift to make an impact, it has to be received. And so that's our mission, to go out and to remind people of who God is. That God is a God of love and grace. That God is a God of compassion and forgiveness. And as we are witness to the baptism of these two brothers, it should remind us that it's not enough for us to just sit on the sidelines, but we have to actively be involved in this mission of God. And we were able to do that last night through even the Thanksgiving outreach dinner, which is awesome. Because it's not just about the cooking and it's not just about the dinner, right? But it's about the willingness to love people. It should remind us that there are people around us, whether it's our friends, coworkers, our family members, who need to experience the love and the forgiveness of Christ. That we need to go out there and that we need to share the love of Christ, whether it's through verbal words or through how we live our lives. It reminds us of God's great mission. And not only that, but lastly, it reminds us of God's great worth. It reminds us of God's great worth. I love today, well, because it's the only day that I get to preach in my swimming trunks and in my flip-flops, right? I always imagine, like, this is how it must feel when you do a church plant in Hawaii. Like, you can just stroll up there in your swimming trunks, preach the gospel, and then afterwards go surfing, right? I mean, how awesome would that be? So we have to pray for a church plant in Hawaii. Lord, send us. But I think today is such an exciting day because it's not just about these two brothers, but it's about God. And as a church, we get to boast about who God is and the work that God has been doing in the lives of these two brothers. The work that God desires to do in all of our lives. And so the big picture is this, that as we experience the baptism of these candidates, that it's really about the greatness of God. It's really about the graciousness of God. It's about the compassion of God. It's the declaration that the God that we serve is worthy. That He is worthy for us to go and to share this message with others. That He is worthy for us to suffer rejection. He is worthy for us to suffer ridicule. For the sake of sharing the gospel. That God is worthy. That ultimately, baptism, it needs to fuel our worship of God. That it needs to place a greater longing and desire in us to see God being worshipped, not only here in this congregation, but ultimately on our campus and in our city. That we want the name of Jesus to be declared, that we want the name of Jesus to be lifted up. And so that's what today represents. And because it represents that, all of God's people should rejoice. Because when you see these brothers getting baptized, it should remind you of God's work in your life. How He loved you, how He saved you, how He redeemed you, how He has placed this great permission in you. And it should remind us that God is sending us out and that we have the privilege and the joy of being able to participate in His work. So the life application is simply this, that we need to go and share the gospel with others. That we need to go and share the gospel with others. It's a day of not only celebration, but it's a day of deepening that conviction that we as a church, that we exist so that we can reach people who have not yet heard the name of Jesus, who have not yet confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we want to be relentless in loving others into God's kingdom. And so that's what today is all about. It's a celebration of who God is and what He desires to do in our lives. It's a reminder of the mission and the vision that God has placed in all of our lives. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and ask our brothers, and they're going to come up and just share a quick testimony of the things that God has been doing in their lives, leading them to this point. And then after that, we're going to bring them back, and I think we're going to try to Google Hangout. And so we're going to be back there behind the screen, and you'll be hopefully be able to see us on the screen as we baptize these brothers, okay? So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and invite Stephen. You're sharing first, right? All right.
Hi, church. Hi. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Stephen Ernest. I'm 19 years old. I'm in my second year here at the University of Texas at Austin, and I come from Los Angeles. And I guess the story of my faith begins before I was even born. My mother was raised a strong Catholic, and while my dad was courting her, she basically told him that if they were going to get married and raise children, that he would have to become Catholic too. So that's the family I come from. When I came along, I was baptized as an infant into the Catholic Church, and I was born and raised in there. So growing up, I went to church every Sunday. I went to Sunday school. I knew all the right answers. I had all the facts. But it seemed like just every Sunday I'd just go and then be done with that. And it wasn't my identity. It was just something that, it was an activity. It was normal and it was routine. It was my sophomore year, I think either my freshman or sophomore year, that my sister branched out and she began exploring her faith on a deeper level. And I finally accepted a long-standing invitation from her to check out the new church that she'd been going to, Temple City First Baptist Church. I finally took her up on that invitation, and I couldn't tell you what Pastor Jim was preaching about or anything about that day exactly, but it was really the people there at the church, and it wasn't the building, it wasn't the message, it was the people and the way that they worshiped that ultimately opened my eyes. And in retrospect, I see that as the Holy Spirit that opened my eyes, and that's where I met God for the first time. Since then, my journey of faith has been really hard. I've stumbled many, many times, and it felt like I've backtracked many times too. But God was always with me, and He always is. So in my college decision, for example, I thought I'd be going to USC or UCLA, somewhere in California. But when college admissions came in, it didn't really work out the way I wanted to, the way I planned it to. And my top two choices then were the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor and the University of Texas at Austin, yeah. And so I flew out to both schools in April when college decision time came. And I really liked UMich. It's awesome, Pastor Ben. Yeah, it's great. And then I flew down here, and I had no idea. Both schools were awesome. They both had awesome business programs. Everything seemed great, but it just so happened that I toured UT on a Saturday, and so I was flying back home on a Sunday. And before our flight, I came actually to this very building, this very room that we're in right now. I went to the University Avenue Church of Christ Sunday celebration, and there I met the campus minister for the Longhorns for Christ, Kerry McCall. And he was a very, very welcoming guy, and he talked about this organization called the Longhorns for Christ that I was welcome to join should I come to UT. And so thinking about all those things, it was ultimately God and this church here that led me to choose UT. And if you fast forward a year, it was actually through the Longhorns for Christ student organization that I went on a mission trip to Brazil with. So God was with me there. When I went off to college, around the same time, my dad lost his job, and he had to find a new one, and the only thing that he could really find was a job in Oklahoma. So around that time, I was flying out to Texas, my dad was flying to Oklahoma, my sister going to art school about an hour away from home, and my mom holding down the fort. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty worried about our family, about my parents' marriage, about everything staying together. But ultimately, I see now that God is doing awesome things in us individually, and He's preparing us individually and making us better so that when we come together, our family is stronger in faith. And finally, with my girlfriend, Andy, that I met over the summer, who I love so much, we were really worried. We were really anxious about how we would make this long-distance thing work. Was it even possible? And ultimately, God became the center of our relationship, and he's done wonderful things in both of our lives, and our relationship is very strong because of that. So God was with me there. And so it's because of all this love and all these blessings that God has put in my life that today I'm choosing to publicly dedicate my life to Christ in this decision to get baptized. So thank you.
Good afternoon, HMCC. For those who don't know me, my name is Tomo, and I'm a prospective grad student from Japan. After long self-deliberation through my few years, I finally decided to be baptized, and I'm so glad to be able to stand here. So let me talk about a little bit myself. When I was in Japan, I attended Christian high school and college for 10 years. They taught the Bible as a subject and had a morning service every day. That was my first encounter with Christ. However, I was not a good student back then. Like, I used to put the Bible on the table like a pillow and sleep on it during the class. Like, I used to hit people using the Bible, which was a really, really powerful weapon. And I, like, used to laugh at one of the pastor's bald patch. Yes, I was indeed a man full of sin. Even though I was not a good believer back then, I had been fascinated by the words Christ spoke long time ago. And I really liked the culture related to Christianity. After I graduated from high school, I was kind of separated from Christian spirit. I made a lot of bad decisions and lost self-confidence for various reasons through my college life. After I graduated from college, I moved to Australia and was blessed with an opportunity to start going to church again. I met a lot of role model-like Christians there, and I was so influenced by them. I had gradually started to grow that faith inside my heart since then. After studying in Australia for a year, I moved to Austin and met a lot of fascinating muscular Christians here as well. Yeah. So it's like I was guided by God to meet a lot of Christians and learn from them. Then I decided to follow Jesus like 8 months ago, and now here I am. After receiving Christ, I truly feel I've been changing gradually in a positive way. I like the values. It's like the values have changed. Mind has changed, and behavior has changed. Now I'm willing to help and love my neighbor more, live like Christ. I really had such kind of feelings when I was in Japan, but I believe that's definitely a good change. I become more confident and find the answer where I live, thanks to Christ. I don't know what my future will be like, but I'm sure Christ will guide me to the right path and help me to become a better man. I feel so blessed to be baptized today and start new life with you. And so excited to see what's gonna happen in my new life. That's my speech. Thanks. Thank you for listening.
All right. So we're gonna head on up there now, and see you guys in about 3 minutes.